This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
When you get a cancer diagnosis, your world stops, but not Fox Chase Cancer Center. When the science moves quickly, we move quicker, because cancer is all we do. From the molecular level to the human level, we stay focused on your unique cancer, not just following the science, but discovering new paths forward, giving you a head start on better outcomes. Learn more at foxchase.org/where you start, because where you start matters.
Now, Major News with Major Garrett, with Chris and Amy on KMOX.
It is just after 10:30 on Thursdays, and we've got our guy, Major Garrett, chief Washington correspondent for CBS News, host of America Decides on CBS News 24/7, and the Major is joining us today. How's it going, Major Garrett?
Good. Is Amy there?
She is right here.
I am here.
Okay, I have a word for both of you.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Incomplete.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I was so, clicking. I had a little click issue.
You know
issue.
What that means?
Yes. Okay.
Do you know what that means?
Yes.
You know what I'm referring to?
Yes.
Okay.
So
we're going to remedy this situation.
I know.
We have a half hour.
We got to do
you
it on a commercial
about 40
break.
40 minutes.
Okay.
You have about 40 minutes.
Okay.
Well, I didn't think this was going to start with being chastised by you for not filling out our brackets yet.
I will say.
The commish is a taskmaster. That ought to be evident by now.
So I will say this to all of our listeners, because as Major Garrett, he is admonishing us for not completing his bracket challenge in his bracket with CBS Sports and all of that. And all I have to say is part of me feels really, really bad. And another part of me feels like super cool because Major wants me to be in his basketball bracket.
Well, he might remove you after
right.
this.
And I feel pretty cool about that.
Uh-huh. That's
I'm going
right.
to be name dropping this like nobody's business.
I know this. I beat Scott McFarland's ass last year.
See?
Yeah.
See?
I know that.
See?
All right.
So we will get it done. Don't worry. Well, I can't speak
right.
for Amy, but
no, we'll
I will get it
done. We'll
get
it done.
All right.
I would love to win. Okay. It'd be really cool.
So, Major, it's good to have you today, as always. Yeah. And I guess the biggest bit of news is the Department of Education, which the Trump administration has been really focused on, wants to get rid of it. Linda McMahon has said that is the goal, is to completely shut down the Department of Education. So where do we stand on that, and how likely is it to be completely shut down?
The administration cannot shut down something congressionally created and congressionally funded. It can change its methodologies. It can change its disbursement of payments, but it can't shut it down entirely. It can dramatically alter the number of people who work there, the kind of things that it does. But the Department of Education was created by Congress. It has congressionally established obligations, and no administration can summarily eliminate all of those obligations or the means by which they are funded. So this executive order to shut down the Education Department will be far more than other executive orders, which have had real teeth and real impact, will be more performative. Now, just to level set, the Federal Department of Education does not control the curriculum mm-hmm. in St. Louis schools. Kansas City schools, Columbia, Missouri, any state in the country. That's done locally and at state level. It principally funds three things: Pell Grants, student loans, special education, and federal assistance for the most impoverished, fiscally challenged school districts to assist them in meeting the needs of children in less well-funded and less taxpayer-supported through property taxes and other ways, education systems. That's what the Federal Department of Education does. Now, if you want to take that money for student loans and Pell Grants and run that through the Treasury Department and just have checks sent out, okay, you can do that. That's one way of shrinking the size of the education department. If you want to just write one blank check to 50 states for their special education budgets, that's another way of doing it, but that would put the states in charge of that funding mechanism. Maybe states want to do that. Maybe they don't. I don't know. That would be a different way of doing it. Money would come from the Treasury Department, not from the Department of Education. How would the Treasury Department monitor the effectiveness of that special education funding? I don't know. That's what the Department of Education does now. So there are lots of questions around what this means. But when the president complains about classroom performance and curriculum, that's not a job of the Federal Department of Education.
Yeah, no, thank you for the clarification, because I do think that is something that can be confusing, although Republicans, they've pushed for decades now to eliminate the Department of Education, which was created under Jimmy Carter, but with the emphasis that, as you mentioned, the states, the school boards themselves are determining curriculum and running the schools.
Correct. There are civil rights inquiries that the Department of Education does at the federal level to make sure that students have equal access to things. This is a way to try, and it has had varying levels of success, to not equalize, because it's impossible to equalize education outcomes, but to be more supportive financially of cash-strapped school districts because they don't have the property tax base. People in St. Louis know what I'm talking about, okay? People in Kansas City know what I'm talking about. Neighborhoods that lose either residences or commercial properties have less money with which to fund their local school districts. Wealthier school districts with higher commercial property real estate taxes or residential real estate property taxes fund their education at higher levels. Federal Department of Education tries, mostly at the margins, to equalize that. But Republicans have also been much more oriented toward either homeschool education, which is not part of the public school system, local, state, or federal at all, or charter schools, which are alternative to public schools. And they're embedded in that as a kind of hostility to teachers' unions, which pushed for and were the driving political force by the creation of the Department of Education in the first place. So for Republicans, the Federal Department of Education is essentially a proxy in a battle against teachers' unions.
President Trump and some of the members of the Republican Party, his administration, have voiced a lot of frustration with federal judges around the country that have gone against executive orders of his, and they have even called for impeachments and that sort of thing. You don't usually hear criticism of justices in this way. It does happen, but usually not from administration. So are there people quietly inside the Republican Party who don't like all of this, and are there people who maybe are intend to be more public about pushing back?
Well, it's a very important issue. What is the balance of our checks and balance system? And the Trump administration is not the first administration to complain when a district judge, the federal judiciary has the Supreme Court, that's the highest level, then the appellate court, and then district courts. A district court.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy.
If you have a locked AT&T phone, we're here with bolt cutters. T-Mobile will help pay off your locked phone and give you a new 5G phone for free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom.
Via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax and a $10 device connection charge. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement as due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early.
Kickstart your new year with a rewarding career at the HK Group. HK is the leader in heavy construction and contractor site materials with over 80 locations across Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. HK offers a wide range of opportunities, including heavy equipment operators, CDL drivers, mechanics, site supervisors, engineers, and project managers. 100% paid benefits designed to promote healthy living, financial stability, and career growth. The HK Group does not discriminate. Apply today at hkgroup.com. It's your future opportunity.
Court judge can issue a nationwide injunction on something that an administration has done. It happened during the Biden administration. My recollection is Republicans were not opposed to that back then because it was stopping Biden administration policies Republicans didn't like. Now district judges are blocking some Trump administration things and Republicans are howling. So which is it? You were happy when district judges were blocking President Biden with nationwide injunctions because you didn't like those policies. That was okay then. Nobody was talking about impeaching a district judge for thwarting the will of a president when it was Biden or Obama for that matter. And it happened back then too. So this is an issue that strains hypocrisy in politics because it basically works if a district judge is advancing my policy perspectives, I'm okay with it. If a district judge isn't, I'm unhappy with it. And now that unhappiness has reached this high level of intimidation, calling for impeachment. Federal judges now are worried about violence or being caught in some sort of rhetorical or doxing or other kind of low-level violence crosshairs. That's why the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, John Roberts, put out a statement this week saying, look, we just don't treat these issues with calls for impeachment or threats of violence or doxing or anything else. There is a process, and we know how to work it. District judge makes a ruling. It goes to an appeals court, and things get sorted out. And if it's a really big issue, the Supreme Court has a method by which to rapidly resolve it. What the Supreme Court, through the Chief Justice, is saying, let that process play out. Don't turn that into yet another arena for over-amplified political rhetoric or threats of violence or possibly even violence itself.
Major, it has been difficult for me, I'm sure for a lot of Americans, to keep track of which tariffs are being threatened, ones are being enacted, which ones have been delayed. And I want to ask you, how much clarity about all of this is there even at the Capitol right now?
Zero. And look, it's not just you, Amy and Chris, and the audience listening. People whose entire livelihoods and their ability to succeed on Wall Street, people who monitor, run, make investment decisions for multi-billion dollar hedge funds, don't know what to do. That's why you're seeing the volatility in the stock market for the last 4 weeks. Volatility that has trended toward the downside because people think that the assumed risk of all these different tariffs need more safe haven stocks, things that are less volatile, or investments that are less volatile, precious metals, Bitcoin, cash, government bonds, etc. Sell off the stocks, at least temporarily, because it's just too volatile. So people whose expertise, hour by hour, minute by minute, lives in this space, don't know what is the best way to process this, to analyze this. So they don't. Of course, you and I don't. It's impossible to know. And the White House is having a lot of internal, very intense conversations. When the president says reciprocal tariffs, is that on everyone and everything on April 2nd? Nobody knows. Even the administration itself doesn't know for sure. Because there's lots of different ways to calibrate that, lots of different ways to apply that. Do you do it by nation? Do you do it by product? Do you do it by the exact tariff? Or do you add in non-tariff barriers, which are other ways to essentially add costs that are not a direct tax on a product or an export? The administration has not sorted all that out. The president's very rhetorically aggressive about this, but the details matter. And just as a matter of policy, let's just take the three ways that the president says tariffs matter. Stop fentanyl. Okay, that's one. Two, reindustrialize America. Okay, that's another. The third, to balance the flow of revenue into the IRS, meaning to raise it through tariffs. Anyone you talk to within the Treasury Department or the President's Economic Councils will admit privately that the kind of tariff policy you would apply to stop fentanyl is fundamentally different than the kind of one you would apply to reindustrialize America, and that one is fundamentally different from the kind of tariff policy you would apply to raise revenue. They're not even harmonious among the three goals the president has described. That's why this is hard. That's why people are confused, and that's why people don't know what to expect next.
Recently, the president had a phone call with Volodymyr Zelensky of Ukraine and said it went pretty well. How close, and he's also spoken with Vladimir Putin, so how close is a deal there, really?
I don't know, and nobody knows how close a deal. So the White House statement about the Zelensky phone call, even by Trumpian standards, was just full of really laudatory language about how great it was and how much Zelensky appreciated the unique leadership of President Trump and so on and so forth. Zelensky, in his description of the call, was less effusive, but they were more or less on the same page. These calls are a part of a process. The process will then lead to direct conversations, not between Putin and Trump, but their working groups. The fundamental truth of all this is Trump is very transparent about this. Russia has more power, more materiel, and more manpower than Ukraine, which means it holds the cards. The United States and Trump administration are now more closely aligned with Ukraine about some of its frontline interests, retaining its sovereignty, maintaining a sense of its own economic destiny. Maybe it joins the European Union, probably doesn't join NATO, and is probably going to have to give up some kind of territory. It doesn't know how much, all subject to negotiation. But the administration has restarted military assistance, and it's restarted intelligence sharing, both offensive and defensive, things that Putin doesn't want to have happen and told Trump he doesn't want to have happen. Trump has not budged on that. That's good for Ukraine. So this is all subject to negotiation. It's taking much longer and is much harder than then-candidate Trump promised. Anyone who knew this story knew that was going to be the case, and it's going to take some considerable period of time to sort it all out.
Major, as we let you go, what do you need to tell the listeners about your career, where they can find you, because we have a ton of Major Garrett fans who have questions for you.
So, first of all, those of you who are fans of The Takeout, I promised you The Takeout will be coming back. It will be coming back. I hope to be able to make an announcement, not this month, but sometime next month. And its accessibility will be more frequent than it once was, and that's going to be the main place where I'm doing most of my most visible work at CBS. I just have to wait for other people to build things and change lighting in studios and do all sorts of mechanical things like retile a floor. And since I don't know how to retile a floor anywhere, especially in a TV studio, I have to wait for other experts to do that. Oh, by the way, I've got to wait for my corporate overloads to write a check. That's always a time-consuming process. Wow. So I got to wait for things. But it's coming soon. And I hope it will be something that people who love The Takeout and who admire my work, and thank you for doing so, will find not only really valuable, but really fun.
Well, between you waiting for the people who fund all of the stuff you're doing and us not filling out our brackets, it sounds like all you're doing is waiting for people.
Yeah.
That's all you
but
do
you
now.
You will fill out your brackets.
Oh, yeah. I'm not missing
that
this.
That will happen.
Yeah, oh, it will.
Yes.
Yeah. I cannot guarantee Amy will, but I will have it done.
Major, I won't let you down. I won't let you down, Major.
Talk to you next week, Major.
All right. See you.
Bye-bye.
Major Garrett, Chief Washington Correspondent for CBS News. America Decides is his show on CBS News 24/7. And the Takeout will be coming back. We'll be getting a formal announcement at some point soon.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. but that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor super fan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.